Welcome to our Walking Dead post show. This is for season 10, episode 2. We are the end of the world. We are here to talk about The Walking Dead. We're here to hear your thoughts on The Walking Dead. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, know that we do this every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. You go to stereo.com/baldmove. And you can hear us talk a little bit more about The Walking Dead and hear your fellow fans' feedback in their own voices. Heck, you can even send us a message. Stereo.com/baldmove. It's free.
Before we get started, did your avatar get more accurate?
Did you change it? I found a stubbly head pattern. I fine-tuned the beard color. Honestly, I spent an embarrassing amount of time scrolling through eyes and noses because I like you just are nailed. Like,
well, I did that on my first time around. I just spent like probably 30 minutes customizing my avatar.
Yeah, I wish they had a beard option between like yours and the one that's on my screen, because last year this would have been a great representation of me. But I've been rocking a more trim beard of late. So, what are you going to do? One thing I thought we could talk about before people started queuing messages, or just to wait for people to get here and queue messages, is, you know, we talked on the podcast about this being a struggle between these two parents with differing philosophies and ideologies over their children, and wrestling over those basic facts and physically struggling.
Carol and Alpha.
Sure am. It's not the first time we've seen this dynamic in The Walking Dead. It really kind of harkens back to season one and season two action. Shane and Rick, tugging and pulling over Carl and what needs to be involved in protecting the family versus, you know, what is being a psychotic asshole. This is a much more extreme version of that, but I remember really enjoying like that interplay and like a much more cutthroat, like there's like zero love lost between these two. You couldn't say that about like Shane and Rick, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I feel like I feel like there's a lot to explore in that kind of archetypal way.
I wonder how much they're going to do of that. Like I know, you know, Kang and company leaned into the emotional side of stuff in a more coherent way last season. So if they wanted to, you know, take a step back while Alpha plans her attack or whatever, and let Carol have some moments with Lydia, I think they could do that. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see how it goes. We've got a lot of episodes this season to cover. And, you know, I just don't think it's going to be like, okay, well, next episode it's on, right? They're bringing the walk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. There's going to be probably a pretty slow build up. Because I agree. I think they're going to take their whole 16 episodes to tell this story.
Yeah.
They're really going to sell the ramping up of tensions and, you know, the paranoia that's going to set in, probably with Alexandria. Yeah. And we'll see. Like, I don't know. Like, does Alpha, if I was Alpha, I'd want to crush these communities. I wouldn't want to like psychologically torture them. Like, okay, you put your heads on their pike once. Now you've presumably gone south. Our theory was that she was gathering her strength, gathering her walkers. I mean, that's what she said this episode. And she's going to come back and smash them like hammer to anvil. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it might bother me if I see her doing just kind of like conventional superhero stuff where it's like, oh, first we must humiliate them, or first we must only kill the left-handed people for some reason. We can't just overwhelm them. We have to fuck with them. You know, like, do you think we're going to get some of that, or?
Not exactly that. The one wild card here is I don't know how much of a replacement Gamma is going to be for Lydia, because if she's not like meant to be mm-hmm. this surrogate daughter that's taking the place whole hog of Lydia, then mm-hmm. Alpha has a problem, right? Because Lydia is in one of these communities, probably in Hilltop, is what she's got to assume, I think.
Right.
That's where she last saw her. And she's probably not going to want to just send a giant horde that's going to kill her daughter, especially after what we saw this episode, right?
I'll shoot that back to you. Especially after what we saw this episode, how can she possibly bring Lydia back into the group? I think sure. one of the reasons she was raging like she was is because, you know, she realized that there was no path forward for that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm
okay.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting that, but
yeah, and you know, maybe she softens or stiffens on that over the course of the season. I don't know.
You know what would be really cool is if they could contrive a way for Carol to capture Gamma and for Alpha to capture Lydia for a few episodes, because I think Carol could win the war decisively that way, because she would steal both of her daughters because Alpha's nuts, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, Gamma might be too far.
What would the community of Whispers do? Like, I can't imagine.
That's what I'm...
Yeah, that wouldn't look great for the Whisperers. They'd kind of, I mean, they're already side-eyeing, you know, Gamma being promoted, or at least one of them is Beta, side-eyeing
the
Gamma
most important
being promoted.
Well, what if she did this? She kept it secret. Like, you know, okay. during the rampaging of Hilltop, she kidnaps Lydia, leads her to safety, but away from the Whisperers. Maybe the Whisperers even think she's dead.
The deepest place.
She takes her back to the deepest place, tries to deprogram her, and can't do it. Meanwhile, Gamma's been captured by Carol. Carol's won her over with a prize-winning casserole. War's over. Pack it up, lady. You just got to get, you know, you're already intellectually and philosophically and spiritually beaten. That's left is us for Eugene to bring in the fat boy, and then the fat lady sings.
Sure.
That's 16 episodes.
here's my biggest, my massive question around Fat Boy. How would they detonate that safely? Because it's not like they could just strap it to a rocket and fire it off like a missile, right? It's not like
Eugene...
they can drive cars away from it at 100 miles per hour on these shitty roads and cars they don't have. How do you set off a nuke and get far enough away in a reasonable amount of time?
I feel like there's the ham radio is a solution. Like some kind of radio relay. Like you take the speaker that does the click sound when someone's trying to attention you, and you wire that to an ignition or whatever. I mean, like, yeah, must state the impossibility of what I've suggested, like the real world impossibility. Right. Of taking a radio decay reactor from a spacecraft and refining it into plutonium, much less the exquisitely shaped explosives you need to make like a basketball sized plutonium crunch down to a golf ball and reach criticality. Like, there's no possible way they can do any of this shit. I want everyone to know that I realize that. The Walking Dead might not know that. And even if they do, they might be like, people kind of want to see Eugene pull together a nuke. Like, how many people really know? Like, these are the Russians. Maybe they're crazy. Maybe they just put a fucking nuclear warhead in there just for shits, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I really want, the more I think about it, the more I just really want to see the Terminator 2 Sarah Connor's nightmare scenario with zombies, just like acres of zombies just going up like wicker baskets. Soaked in kerosene.
I want to see. Here's how I hope it happens. I hope that the blacksmith constructs a biplane. That they like roll down a hill and it takes off with Fat Boy in the back, and Eugene just bombs, drops it out the back of the biplane.
Some Kitty Hawk
shit.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I want.
Well, if he's got a co-pilot bomber situation, that's also how we could get our. Slim Pickens situation going on, you know, like,
it's true.
Eugene sighting the bomb right on the heart of the herd. And he's sitting there looking through his periscope And who's driving this thing? Aaron. Aaron's driving. Yeah. You know, he turns out he was a pilot. You didn't know this, but he's a pilot, and they're flying over the bomb site, and Eugene pulls the lever, and Fat Boy's stuck.
Oh man, it's just too fat. They made the hole too small. The blacksmith only had an example of a 4 foot diameter hole.
Eugene splits the atom only for the blacksmith to be off on his tolerances. So Eugene's got to go and kick that thing free and ride it right at the glory, right at the glory, and out of being trapped in the spinoffs. I feel like it's going to happen, man.
God, I can't wait. I hope it does. I feel it's good at the very least.
You know, that's the thing is like when you mentioned that to me off air, like we ought to do a skit around this Eugene bomb theory. And I'm like, I was like, oh yeah, it's super funny. But I started thinking about like, what, there's nothing like, what do? You know, there's a Strangelove joke, but how do you get there? And I think we just got there. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, they're tinker toying a nuke bomb. Like shit. Yeah. Those invent an airplane. Yeah.
Why not?
Gilligan's Island one up. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to that. What do you think is going to happen in the next episode as far as the immediate aftermath of the our village idiots saving the cruising ground of the Whisperers from the satellite fire?
Well, now that we're kind of, you know, a few hours removed here from the urgency of the fire, I think we're going to have to sit down and talk about whether that was a smart thing to do, and a lot of people are going to have opinions on it. There will definitely be a town council meeting in Alexandria, and I'm sure Gabriel will get in on that. And yeah, it'll probably be a lot of talking next episode, if I had to guess.
I wonder, because I think the interesting thing here is the Whisperers think they're clever because they went and they got a bigger horde of zombies, for instance. But they don't know what the survivors have been doing in the Alexandria compound and all that kind of stuff.
They're 300 training.
The 300 training. I do think that's one of the ways that they'll keep things interesting, that the Whisperers will mount a big attack and they will not be prepared to handle the King Leonidas strategy. And right, they will be repulsed between the walls of Hill. Because that's the thing. I think they'll like be attacking Hilltop, and they'll already be taking heavy losses. Hilltop's probably the toughest nut to crack. Yeah. Although I don't know, Alexander at the cold rolled steel. But yeah, like so they're, you know, besieging the Hilltop, but the, you know, Hilltop's holding their tone, and the zombies are starting to stack up. But it's a foregone conclusion. There's just too many zombies, and then over the hill, you see, you know, Aaron and Daryl and Michonne and baby Judith and all these people with their 300 shields and their spear training, and Boston Rob skewers three of them with one fell throw. I feel like that's what we're going to get. And that's going to repulse the Whisperers. I'm writing Walking Dead fan fiction here. It's kind of fun. That will repulse the Whisperers, and Alpha's already weak, right? They're already doubting their leadership. This is going to be yet another challenge cast to overcome, which is going to take her, you know, it's going to take her time to win their flock back. They're going to have to regroup their strength, and that'll get us into the second half of the season. I don't know what they're going to do for 8 episodes there, but that's my prediction.
I'm struggling to come up with a realistic thing that Eugene, like I said in the first episode, what could Eugene realistically get out of this satellite that would help them that isn't readily available at any hobby shop? And I really can't come up with anything.
I don't know if you think that I'm not serious about the nuclear bomb, but I am actually very serious about the theory. You know, like
sure. I believe that you're serious. I just can't join you on that flight of fancy.
I'm trying, because you're right. I mean, like you're absolutely right. There might be some very high end gyroscopes, or you know, just general weird computer gewgaws, servos or something. But like, what the fuck is Eugene going to do with that? Build a pinball machine? You know, like there's other interesting possibilities, like a film canister of spy film that, you know, it's like that would be an interesting thing that, you know, Eugene wants to develop and see what's on it. It's just like pictures of the Earth. So I mean, but that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it's got to be something that helps them win this battle, right?
You'd think, because they got solar cells, they got batteries, mm-hmm. they got wire, they got plenty of hardware. I mean, Jesus, nuts and bolts probably are super easy to come by. So I don't know.
Well, let's see. We've got one voicemail here. I kind of want to check it out and see if somebody's suggesting something. And if anybody else has some suggestions on what Eugene could be getting, it's tough because those episodes are out there already. So no spoilers, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Good guess.
This dumb experiment of ours where we try to remain ignorant of a show that's been on the air for over a year.
Right. Stupid. Okay, well, let's try this voice.
I love it. I think people are going to go along with it.
We'll see.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Aaron. What you guys were wondering about the six-episode thing, what it looks like from the commercials, I've seen all of season 10. It looks like the way the trailer looked, it almost looked like season 11. It just kind of looks like it picks up right after season 10. So I'm not sure if this is extra footage or what, but if it's aired, I haven't watched it. I've only watched the trailer. So yep, that's what it looks like so far. So
yeah, I want to say that first episode came out this week. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, no, it comes out the 28th. I think it's this weekend.
28th. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll definitely, I think people will be able to tell us the reaction, what they think. So what was that guy's gist?
I mean, he said that it just looks like it's season 11, then it picks up where kind of season 10 leaves off. So it, in my mind, that says it's not just like some weird spinoff thing, you know, with characters.
Do you think that they're, yeah, it's not like a Red Machete kind of situation.
Right.
Do you think that they, because I don't know that they film things by season necessarily, right? Do you think they might have had like the first couple episodes shot?
Maybe.
Or like I said, my idea is like maybe they went guerrilla with it and they just did a couple break, like, you know, just get one or two actors at a time doing stuff. So you don't have to have the full cast together. And you do a series of kind of like what they did with the Alpha and Lydia deal, like go back and I don't know about Flash forward, like, you know, Carol and Daryl could fuck around for three episodes,
mm-hmm.
and would make a lot of sense. Any combination of random survivors just going out, and, you know, Aaron starts scouting for good survivors again because they're ready to open up their borders and, you know, look for fellow good people out there. There's a lot of really interesting possibilities. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know how they do it with a film shutdown. I didn't pay attention to like any of the news.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, they definitely stalled for time. But I don't know, you know, to what end. Are they trying to like stall for time so that they can get people in there to film one-on-one and cobble something together during COVID? Are they stalling for time so that they don't have a big gap during COVID because they can't film anything at all? What was the big stall there, delaying the finale from when it was supposed to air until October? That's what I'm not sure about is what they were doing during that time, other than obviously being, if not completely shut down, then at least hobbled by COVID.
Right.
We'll see.
We'll see. Have they actually started filming? Because everyone's like, because I've heard it's like full steam ahead for season 11 to come out fall of this year. We did research because we're like, oh, man, we'll have to put the pedal to the metal because we, you know, there's plenty of time to do it. But since there's 22 episodes in this season to get to, and we're already, you know, a fourth of the way through the year, we can't just like fuck around with it. We're going to have to kind of bop with it. But if they don't, if they're not started filming yet, then can they turn it around that time? In that amount of time? I guess they got this
scheduled. They're saying late 2021 is the latest.
I mean, I guess they got the like they can get these people vaccines, so that's not a problem, and they can the scripts probably could have been worked on, you know, over the winter in the fall, because you don't need to get everybody together to just, you know, break down scripts. So,
oh god, season 11's got 24 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the very first episode that gets broken into three sections, like. Season 11A, season 11B, season 11C. You know, it's got the
well, 10 is technically kind of that, although they don't want to call it season 10.
Yeah, what is that? Three episodes of 7, 8?
Yeah,
no, it's like it's not evenly divisible. Shit,
what?
Unless it's 24 episodes? Seasons, four seasons of 6 episode runs, spread them a quarter apart.
You could do 8 times 3. That's 24.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. 8 times 3.
That's
what they're going to do. They've done gave the game away. Simple division has laid bare.
We're on
laid bare the greed of a final season. My ass. That's a stealth 12th season.
Yeah, another 50% worth of seasons means 50% more ads.
It's true. It's true.
Filming's gonna be starting soon, as of a month ago. They said February, so if it hasn't started already, it's about to.
Have to ping our Georgian contacts.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
This Tuesday, we're back off the clock with a new premium podcast covering our experiences with the new Amazon series Fallout, Alex Garland's Civil War, as well as some thoughts on X-Men 97.
Then on Friday, The Old Reliable, Lunch with Jim and Aaron. Join us in the Munch Crowd to watch us record live at 1 p.m. Eastern or check out the podcast later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds. Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the 4 pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
Yeah.
We got some messages. Let's hear what the people have to say. Rugrat 5.
I've seen the first episode of these bottle episodes, and it looks like they're going to do COVID restriction groups. And I know there's one Negan episode, and they hired his wife to play his wife in that episode. So they're being careful, but it looks like it might be interesting.
Bubble episodes. You've got bottle episodes, now you got bubble episodes.
Right, because you can't call it a bottle if it's in the middle of the George Woods. But that's what I thought. Small crew. Just one or two actors, or in this case, you know, like I would love to see they've teased about the, you know, how he was before the fall. Like there, here's like a Governor flashback. That's one episode I am totally in favor for, because Jeffrey Dean Morgan's just amazing. And Negan's just a lot better than the way they fucking did the Governor in The Walking Dead. What are you thinking about these individual kind of bottle episodes?
I've got the minorest of spoilers just from looking up like the names of the episodes on IMDb. and the minorest of spoilers in this case is that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is not in fact dead yet. He's going to be in a few more episodes at least in season 10. So,
I thought you were going to say he's going to be in a few more episodes. I'm like, what the fuck? Spoilers?
No, at least a few more. Yeah. From what I've seen.
He will be in, not he will be dead in. He will be in at least a few more.
Right. Yeah, so I feel like they're going to do more with him trying to reintegrate into Alexandria and see what that produces.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hilarity.
Yeah,
I mean, this I'm in a good place with this show. I feel like there's no wrong answers. Like, if they make me laugh and they don't fundamentally betray the characters or make them just like ridiculous, sure. Then that's fine. Because they're in an inherently ridiculous situation. Yeah, thanks for the insight. I wonder how we got to see the first episode already. Was it like released on the web, or we got an inside deal here?
I don't know. Maybe that was. Fuck.
It's our Georgia contact, Deep South.
Deep South. I'm trying to think. For some reason, I can't think of the guy who plays Rick's name. What the hell is wrong with me?
Andy Lincoln.
Yes, maybe that's Andrew Lincoln with a voice changer.
Oh, shit. Let's get on to the next voice, or the next call-in, Phenom.
How are you seeing these names?
Oh, because I'm looking at the moderation app.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
Hey, guys. I saw that they're doing releasing the Here's Negan episode on AMC. I think it's going to be separate from the plot of the show, but on April 4th or something. I was just wondering if you guys read that 12, I think they did like a 12 page or like a mini comic version of it a few years ago. I was wondering if you guys read that and what you thought of it.
Thanks for the question. I have not. I've stopped. I didn't read any Walking Dead past like the first two issues of the Whisperer arc, and I left it there. If this episode releases and people can guarantee it has no spoilers for the rest of season 10, like it's just like a flashback with Negan, I would actually be very tempted to watch it because I'm really curious. It sounds like a fun concept.
Do you know there's a board game called Here's Negan?
What?
Yeah, a Walking Dead board game.
Here's Negan.
Yeah, it looks like it's got miniatures of some characters. I don't know. It might be cool.
It's like the mystery date, you know, where you got a, what was that? What was that? Like some kind of memory game where you got to remember. Did you ever play that game? Mystery date?
Code names? No.
No, forget it. I've had a brain fart. I can't explain it, but like, yeah, it's definitely not that. It's like going around beating people in the head with a baseball bat type of game.
Okay.
We got a short one from Rugrat 5. Let's hit this button again.
I subscribe to AMC Plus, and they released the episode early for subscribers.
Oh, of course they did.
Ooh,
of course, that's a good idea.
Nice little insider bonus there. I think it's hilarious that this app frenzy has caught the studios and the channels so down with their pants down that so many places, family jewels, are just scattered hither and yon, and they're trying to get it desperately back. For example, AMC Shudder does not have any episodes of The Walking Dead other than like the World of The Walking Dead or whatever the new thing is, because they've already licensed the rights all over the place. What's another funny? I was thinking there's another. Oh, CBS Online or Paramount Plus does not have Star Trek because, thank God, Amazon's got a license to it. I'm wondering, I'm really not looking forward to the day when you have to subscribe to like 20 different frickin' channel services just to get a decent selection of television and movies. Like, we had this brief, glorious golden age where everything was kind of cool, and it's about to get wrecked. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what the average length of one of those contracts is, but as soon as those start to expire in mass, it's going to happen. Dude, everybody wants their slice of the pie.
We gotta get these Star Trek live watches. We gotta start doing 10 a week.
All right, I'm down. If we get partner and we just want to do live watches constantly, no problem.
Yeah, we'll just always be watching Star Trek until it's over, and we'll go back to podcasting, which will be about the same time that all the other cool stuff starts coming back. Mark Delaney says is up next.
Hey, someone else might beat me to it, but just to clarify, Some people have seen the episodes a bit early, or at least this first episode a bit early, because if you subscribe to the AMC Plus app and pay for the paid version, you can watch them midweek. So the rest of us are left hanging, but some people have seen them already. So watch out for even more spoilers now.
That's good to know. And brilliant competitive advantage there by the old AMC Meister. They know how to make money. Cantomic 66.
Hey guys, so I finally caught up to where you guys are at. I stopped like you guys after season 8, and I kind of got back on board when you guys started covering the show again, and I heard good stuff about the season 9. And after watching season 9, I wish the show had been as good as that season, because I think it's one of the best seasons of the show. Earlier. Because if that had happened, the show probably wouldn't have lost a majority of its viewers, and the show probably would have been more popular. But sadly, it wasn't, you know, because AMC and, you know, the showrunners ran into the ground, and I'm kind of glad the show's in a better place now, because I'm willing to watch now again after, you know, not watching it for a long time. And yeah, I'm excited to see how this season goes.
That is a good point. I was always frustrated. I mean, I didn't care because it is what it is. But I was always a little frustrated by our reputation as a hater cast because, like, clearly The Walking Dead is not like some top shelf drama now, but it doesn't waste my time or insult my intelligence. It just shows me lots of cool stuff and with stuff that's ridiculous. It's like, hey, I lean into being ridiculous, you know? There is a better world where Frank Darabont didn't get fired, and we're discussing the amazing result of The Walking Dead turning out to be a better show than Game of Thrones, you know? Or maybe in this better world, both of those, you know, George finished the novels and we got satisfying endings to both. But, like,
yeah,
it is a damn shame that The Walking Dead fucked around for essentially season 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, like, some people think it's good through 6, but I don't think almost everyone agrees 7 and 8 was hot garbage. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. They let Gimple just kind of wallow in that, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't agree with most of their decisions on who they promoted and where they placed them. Angela Kang has been a breath of fresh air, though, and hopefully she can turn this around, because, like, look, The Walking Dead, I'm staring at some of the numbers here as far as viewers go. And despite, I don't know how they measure all this stuff anymore with streaming and stuff. But honestly, like, the height of it was kind of in the middle of where it started to get real bad, like season 6. It was like 14 million viewers or something. It was kind of insane.
Yep.
And then it's dropped off to about a third of that at just about 5 million. Which is still a big show.
Huge, like, especially for AMC.
For this, like, they're not premium cable. They're just a cable outlet, but
basic cable. Yeah.
5 million is a lot of people.
That's basically Breaking Bad at its height, right? There was like 5, 6 million audience. So even now, like, that's the reason they're still making spinoffs and shit, is because it is a very popular franchise. And now, like I said, if they're able to maintain this quality, I don't see why. Like, because I'm honestly invested in the Carol and Daryl spinoff, Sight Unseen. Like, yeah, I think that could be a lot of fun. I would check that out for a season. And I hated The Walking Dead at one point. if I had heard that, like, because we heard like season 3 of Fear the Walking Dead got good, and then. If I had heard through, like, what is it, on season 5 or 6, that, like, hey, yeah, it had a remark, I'd probably start watching that too, because I think the zombie universe is pretty cool. But yeah, it's a damn shame. I think this will be our last. This is now the cutoff. We're not going to take any new messages, but if you're waiting and you get approved, we'll go through it. Because we got started a little bit late. Mark Delaney says up next.
So I read all the comics, and I know you guys fell off before a point where the show's even at now. I'm curious what, in your mind, would be a satisfying conclusion? Because without spoilers, I can tell you that it's going to have to be pretty different, just given, you know, who's alive in one version versus the other at this point in the series or in each series. I'm just wondering what in your minds would make a satisfying conclusion to this epic of a show?
Jeez. Explored a little bit of this last episode, but what do you think?
Well, yeah, and my answer was like very non-specific, right? It was sort of like whatever happens, it has to involve Maggie and what she's been doing, but I didn't give any specifics on what I think that might be. I think that's tough because this is a show that's always been sort of envisioned as a thing, and in the comics too, that will run forever, right? That'll just not have an ending. Right. And they've set it up such that I guess the only satisfying ending we could possibly get is one that promises a future for this community. And in so much, it won't feel like an ending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, that was kind of like how you felt about it when we talked last episode.
Yeah, like a hope, like some hopeful kind of like, yeah, everything's not fine and perfect, but like, I like how they're like bringing babies into the show again. Because I think that's going to be really powerful potentially at the end of the next season, that, like, you know, we can have a shot of, like, remember that time where they all got in this goddamn barn with, like, one of the first Aaron episodes and, like, they had a zombie tornado. And then at the end of it, they got out of there and they're all looking into, like, the sunny kind of future and it looked beautiful. Like, imagine a reprise of that shot and everybody's, you know, Jerry and his wife's got their family and Gabriel and Rosita's got their family and, you know, Michonne has got RJ and Judith and, you know, like I cause you get like that sense of like growth, like humanity's being, you know, aside from the Georgie stuff, the humanity is starting, like we might win this thing, you know, we're able to sustain and grow children in this environment, have them thrive. I think that would like some kind of goodbye looking like that, I think would be very effective and still be open-ended because we know this isn't the end. We're going to have Daryl. We're going to have Carol. I can't imagine they'll never revisit Alexandria if the show takes off because that's just super popular. That's what I'm thinking. Cause it's not going to end literally. It's going to just kind of stop and then pause and continue in other forms.
Maybe Maggie has spent the last 2 years convincing Georgie that the place they need to be is back on the Herschel farm. And they'll end up like
going back to Kentucky.
Yeah, but she doesn't tell anybody that's her house, right? She's like, I know of this place. It's a farm. It's down in Georgia. We can go there. And and convinces Georgie that's the place to go. And Daryl and Carol ride off on their bikes before Maggie comes back. Mm-hmm. And then Maggie's just left with a community who's never heard of her family farm. And she just takes them all down there.
You know, it'd be really funny if independently Carol and Daryl had talked many times about going back to the green farm. You know, there's hundreds of acres there. Yeah. Nobody's using it. It's got at least one well. It's not zombie infested. We'll just go and live on the land, man. We'll be away from everybody. And simultaneously, Maggie has told Georgie that she can settle humanity there. And they get there and it's just like, it's just like a giant refugee camp / shanty town.
There are windmills and solar panels.
It's humanity's last great city. And no, that would be hilarious. okay, let's do Liver
Dead. They're going back. All right, yeah, let's get to this last one.
Let's do Liver Dead. Liver Dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys about the previous seasons being kind of trashy. And, you know, I was just thinking that somebody should, you know, do some more fan edits of those previous seasons. I don't know. What do you think?
Liver Dead, obviously, if you guys didn't know, check out baldmove.com. There's fan edits the Liver Dad did of the Governor episodes in season 3. That were a dramatic. I mean, this is something that you and I have talked about many times. Like, man, there's so much fat on these seasons. Like, there's 12 episodes worth of plot and 16 episodes worth of seasons. I bet this would be a better show if he just took a machete to it and cut. And Liver Dad did just that. And did a couple other kind of like fancy artistic choices, dropped the sound out in places, changed the soundtrack, did some colors, some black and white stuff, but just mostly solid editing to just trim all that fat. And it's a much better show. It would be like, honestly, if I was AMC, the way the Zack Snyder shit's going down, I think.
Let Zack Snyder get in there with a knife and some scissors.
How much money would you pay for a Blu-ray set that was the Frank Darabont cut of The Walking Dead?
I don't know.
Where he just goes and like tries to cut all the like whatever you perceive as bullshit. Maybe he's not the right guy for it, but like I would pay for the Angela Kang cut.
All right. Yeah,
pay this woman millions of
$40.
I would pay upwards of $40, maybe $100 if it's the whole multi-season set. But sure. Like, pay this woman millions of dollars to go and fix these mistakes, because here's the thing: we've always said this about The Walking Dead. Effects, amazing. Acting, for the very most part, way better than it needs to be. The characters are strong. The characters are very strong. It's just always been the writing has been up and down. But more than anything, it just plods and it's boring and it's repetitive. Cut that. It's like doing a sick Voltron edit where you trim down all the transformation. I mean, this might be heresy, I don't know. But you trim down every time he pulls out the goddamn sword. You don't need 45 seconds of seizure-inducing strobing. You just he pulled out the sword. Fine. Do that. I nominate you, Liver Dad.
It's the most AMC move to do this, though, right? Like, they've already got the footage. It would be so cheap, and you could get another 5 seasons out of this show just from nostalgia, people revisiting it through the new lens of the Angela Kang cut, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Liver Dad. I'll tell you this. I don't know if Jim Jones will go along with this, but A. Ron Hubbard will do it. Well, I will use whatever platform that I have with my personal social media to promote any kind of Kickstarter that you may choose to do to self-fund the editing of these things, because I think it's a great idea. And if you think that, like, hey, $500, $1,000 would make it work, I would shout that out to him. And what do you think, Jim? You think something that the Bald Move could officially get behind? Because I think that'd be cool. And, like, you got the body of work. It's like, do you think, where do you want in on for the rights to download the torrent file links or whatever? Like, I think that would be a solid idea and something worth, I mean, as a Walking Dead fan, I think that would be super worth it, you know?
I can't imagine that would be legal, but...
Oh, wait, is that true?
I mean, you're taking money to do a fan project.
You're probably right.
AMC's footage. I can't imagine that would actually fly, but if you wanted to try it, you could.
Have we considered Kickstarter fraud? Because what this project is actually funding is a 2-minute Walking Dead tribute trailer.
Okay.
And there may be an unrelated URL for promotional purposes in your receipt, your donation receipt. You know, like that's on the up and up. That's honest as Abe right there. Jim, I think you might have found the fatal flaw of our scheme here. But
copyright.
God damn, it's a great. Yeah. Other people's property. Just can't do whatever you want with it. But the fan edits are a hot idea, and I really enjoyed what you did at The Walking Dead. And it's one of the ripest targets. I don't know how you save like season 7 and 8. Maybe it's easier than I think, but like it seems like there's fundamentally more stupid things happening. But I don't know.
If you guys want to find the fan edit that he did, it's on our website baldmove.com, and you can just search for Killer Within or Made to Suffer. Posted a commissioned podcast there where we talk all about those, and we also include links to the downloads, I believe.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to put in the show notes of this episode the link, that if you don't catch that, we'll just link to it, because it's not to the files themselves, although I think you can link to the torrents through there.
Yeah.
But it does have reviews of it. So, all right. Well played, Liver Dad. Well played. That's going to do it for tonight's after show. Really enjoyed having all the support. I hope you guys are continuing to enjoy the show and the after show we produce from it. We'll be back here next Wednesday. If you got thoughts on The Walking Dead this season, just want to shoot the shit with us, please do so. Stereo.com/baldmove. Thanks in advance, everybody listening.